Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Just having some interesting little AV issues whereby we can't actually show anything on the screen, which is fun and games. So today I'm going to go through the wonders of Apple management through the medium of MIME. My name is James Bannon. I'm an Enterprise Client MVP, Enterprise Client Management MVP, formerly, like Prince, the CCM MVP. And this is Peter Dolmans, who's also an ECM MVP, who's joining us in his first tech ed ever from Breda in the Netherlands. So please make Peter welcome.
Thank you. I'm very, very honored.
So look, while we're waiting for the AV to come back up, we'll give you about as much of an overview as we can without any visuals, which is always a bit of a challenge. So essentially what we want to discuss is managing your Apple investment, and here we're talking OS X and iOS management with Configuration Manager 2012 Service Pack 1 as the instigator of all that is wonderful. Now, the context of this really falls within Microsoft's story of cross-platform management. Now, not many people know about what Microsoft is up to in the realm of cross-platform management, but certainly in terms of what we're seeing on the Hyper-V platform, especially in Windows 8 and Server 2012, and now 8.1 and 2012 R2, and of course in the System Center suite in terms of Operations Manager, SCVMM, and now SCCM, we're now seeing support for a disparate range of distros, Linux, Unix, CentOS, Red Hat, Ubuntu, Solaris, Oracle. Microsoft's cross-platform management story is actually now quite mature and quite rich. There was a tweet that went out earlier. One of the other presenters commented that Microsoft is now actually the or one of the largest contributors to the open source kernels. And certainly when you see what can be achieved on Hyper-V now, that's certainly the case. Now, in terms of what we can now do with Configuration Manager and Apple, so in 2012 SP1, Microsoft introduced native management agents for OS X. Now, initially that was for 10.6 and 10.7, and with the CU1 release, which was in January, I believe.
In January.
Yep. We also had support now for 10.8. So this is a traditional config manager agent, the same that you would expect on a Windows machine. Not the same functionality, of course, but a native agent. So not relying on open standards or network protocols. It is actually an OS X app, which Microsoft has written for it. In terms of what we can now do with iOS, mobile device management, has anyone tried native MDM management in Configuration Manager 2012? Native. No one? Of course not, because it's Windows Mobile and Nokia Symbian. Not exactly, how do I put it, not exactly massive market share at the moment, so you wouldn't really worry about that. So what came out in 2012 Service Pack 1 was the ability to integrate with Windows Intune. Has anyone played with Windows Intune? Yeah. The mobile management capabilities of Windows Intune are far richer than what Config Manager can do natively. So rather than have two management frameworks, what occurred instead is that the two products are now aligning far more. Guys at the back, there's still actually some seats up the front if you want to come up. We're still waiting for the screens to come up, so you're not missing anything major. No? Can I go? Can I embarrass you? You, yes, you. There's a seat there. You, no? All right. All right, this is going to be limiting. Here's an iPad. Actually, no. Actually, I'm wrong. It's a Surface. That's an iPad. No, all right. So let's actually have a bit of a conversation around infrastructure and what we can do and what you can do within your SCCM environment right now in order to get OS X managed. So the first thing that we were going to tackle was OS X management, okay? So let's take a look at the, well, let's not take a look. Let's have a listen to the infrastructural side of things. All right, so the main things that you need I'll change it around a bit. The way that Microsoft sees OS X devices is as untrusted internet-connected machines. So what this means is that there's no dependency upon a Mac joining a domain. You can join a domain, you can't, or you do, don't, it doesn't really matter from a config manager side of things. The way that SCCM works, once you get your agent down onto the Mac, and there's a number of ways that you can handle that, what you then have at the back end is a PKI infrastructure, so Active Directory Search Services. The Mac then does an enrollment against that infrastructure, against AD, and then drops a trusted cert down onto the device. At that point, the Mac is talking natively to your SCCM infrastructure via HTTPS. Now, for those of you who have played around with SCCM 2012, you know that it can operate natively in HTTP mode, and there's also an HTTPS mode as well. Now, if you want to be able to support Macs, you don't have to do full HTTPS, where the entire site is running in HTTPS mode. We've got a number of customers. I don't have any running in native HTTPS. Do you?
I've one.
Yeah. Okay. It's not that common, really.
No.
You tend to find that customers who have very, very stringent security requirements, they like to. But other than that, no. So instead of having to modify your current environment, what you can do instead is simply spin up additional site server that runs in HTTPS mode. And that's what we've got in our environment here. Okay, so you've essentially got a primary site server with management point, DPs, all the extra roles running in HTTP mode, and then a secondary server with management point and DP running in HTTPS. That's the one that the Macs talk to. If you make that server available externally through an internet qualified name, they can also talk to that server when they're outside of your corporate network as well. Okay, so standard internet managed devices. In terms of what we can achieve, I may as well refer to slides, even though...
You need the clicker?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Why not? Ba-ba-bum. All right. In terms of installation of the agent, so the agent actually comes, bizarrely, as an MSI. It's just Microsoft saying, yeah, it might be a Mac agent, but you're not going to escape. And you essentially install that MSI onto Windows box, and bang, there's your agent. You copy that, and away you go. Installing it at the moment is a relatively manual process, which it is possible to automate. So it's literally just a DMG, run that, there's your installer, it's installed. It needs a reboot, but there's nothing special. There are no command line switches that you need. Everything is actually handled via a utility, which does the actual enrollment side of things. Now, at the moment, if it is a manual process to get that agent out onto a box, but you can do the installation via SSH if you wish, which means that if you have some way of automating a process of talking to a box over SSH, if you're a Linux or a Unix administrator, you might already have that available. Or you can take a look at a product like System Center Orchestrator. There are some free runbooks available which allow you to do a native agent deployment to Linux and Unix, which works well for Mac as well. But at the moment, it's a command line based installation and enrollment. What's coming up in R2 is actually a GUI-based enrollment. We hope to be able to show you that. Hint, 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 hint. And that is actually something which a user can do. So a GUI-based installation, and then the user can actually step through a GUI-based enrollment too. So a number of changes and improvements in the agent. Now, in terms of what we can actually do with that agent once it's on a Mac,
We can do inventory.
Yep.
We can deploy applications or software updates, and we can do settings management. And depends on the schedule of the inventory.
So it's, by default, it's yeah. So the inventory of all these schedules is actually handled by the default client policy. So at the moment, you don't create a new client policy and just target your OSX machines. Everything is handled by the default. Yeah. Quick show of hands, who actually does currently administer a Configuration Manager 2012 environment? Most of you? Okay, cool. So a lot of the concepts which I'm referring to here are actually config manager ones, okay? So they're not explicitly Mac OS X or iOS. All right. Now, in terms of the inventory management, do you want to make a mention about that?
Yeah, I will. Standard hardware inventory is supported by config manager, and the inventory is gathered through SIM. In the Windows world, we use WMI, the Windows Management Infrastructure of Instrumentation. Because it's a Mac OS X operating system, we don't have WMI. So Microsoft is using the SIM provider for that, and it's an open standard which enables you to gather information about the device. It not only gathers the hardware inventory, but also the installed software. So, which allows you to gather information about all the Mac devices in your environment, and build reports about what kind of software is installed on your devices.
All right. How are we going, guys?
A bit longer.
All right. Let's stall for time. All right. You know what I'm going to do, because this is getting a little bit irritating. Behold, this is an iPad. You all know what that is. Of course you do. No problem. So we're going to come back to the OS X stuff, okay, on the assumption that we're going to get our AV, so we can actually show you an enrollment process, we can show you settings, we can show you applications, all that nice stuff. But that's all up here, not much we can do. I can at least do that and give you something to try and look at, okay? So what we do from an iPad iOS perspective, iPhone, iPod Touch as well, is, oh, come on. Hello. No, it's all right. No pressure. Hey. All right. All right. Demo.
Demo. Yeah. Let's right. Demo.
Yeah. Let's absolutely. Let's demo. Let's do some demo stuff. And you know what? I didn't even want to go to that screen. I'm so excited. I don't know which input I want to go to. All right. Here we go. So what we've got, this is a physical Mac. So it's this one up here.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, yeah, that's right. And this is the Config Manager agent, which has been already installed. Now, it's already installed, it's already enrolled. As you can see here, it's actually talking to Management Point, which is my CCM02 machine. And that's the one that's talking over SSL. Okay, so my primary site is only talking over port 80. Guys at the back, there's some seats up the front here if you want to grab a seat. This session's going to be awesome, and you're not going to want to leave, so your legs are going to get really, really tired. So come on up. There's some seats. Now, in order to get this agent happening, I'm actually going to switch back to my Windows box just to do a bit of... I'm going to switch back to my Windows box. And I'm going to do an enrollment on a virtual machine. Now, so this is a VM, and before anyone screams, that's illegal, Apple will come and smack you, it's OS X running on this, so it is legal. So, now, what I've done, this is the, just in here, this is the installer, the package, the setup, and a number of tools which we use for creating Apple applications. I can't zoom in, that's all right. We've got a diagnostics utility which is really, really useful for wrapping up all of the log files, all the events into a nice handy zip file and uploading to whoever is the person at Microsoft responsible for looking at Mac stuff. We've got the enrollment utility. Now, bearing in mind that this is all the SP1 stuff, I'll show you SP1, and then Peter will show you the R2 improvements and the uninstaller. Okay. Now, just to prove that we can do it like this, I'm actually going to do it over SSH. So I've opened up an SSH connection into the same box. If we take a look, there's my utilities. So I'm going to jump in here. So the first thing I'm going to do is install. So as you can see, if you had a utility like Orchestrator, which can open up an SSH connection to your Mac environment based on a list, based on AD, or whatever it is, you can automate this. Now, that is now done. It does need a restart, but before we're going to do that, we're actually going to enroll it. Now, in order to do that, I'm going to need to find the enroller. And because it's a nice long command line, I'll grab it and whack it in there. So what I'm doing here, I'm using the enrollment utility. It's going to point to my SCCM02 SCCMLab.net. That is the HTTPS enabled management point. Okay, so I could have a DP on another box, but I want it to talk to the management point. The user is the credentials of the user who has the permissions within ADCS to enroll Mac templates, Mac certs. And I'm ignoring cert chain validation in the same way that I would ignore CRL checking in SCCM. Go through, password. It's going to talk to the enrollment server. And we are done. And I'm going to have to, shut down T0. Ooh, OK. Sudo shut down T0. You know what? I don't like you. Anyone know what the command is? There we go. System shutdown has arrived. Thank you very much. Open the door, Hal. No. Sudo open the door, Hal. OK. All right. Now, if I jump into the infrastructure and actually take a look at what this is talking against, see, I've got my main site, which is 01, and in there, I've got my main primary, and that's my 02 environment. So my 02 server, and that's got all the necessary stuff which a Mac needs to talk against. So it's a DP, it's enrollment point, proxy point, management point. All those are SSL enabled, and the site server itself has an internet FQDN. In this lab environment, it's the same as the internal one, so that's perfectly allowed. But it needs that role in order for it, in order for you to be able to say that you are going to go through and allow connectivity by intranet and internet connections. Until a site system has an internet FQDN, that doesn't work. And now, did you want to show the R2 enrollment? You might need to mirror that.
Do you know how?
Yep. Behold the SCCM MVP stumbling around on Macs. It is hilarious. It's like comedy of errors. It's desktop and screensaver. Just bear with us, please. Displays, arrangements, your displays.
Sweet.
Here we go.
So for time's sake, I already installed the client. And you see, we now have a graphical enrollment tool. So I just need to supply my credentials and the server name, and then we're good to go. A super secret password and SCCM R201. So it's now contacting the server, enrolling, and in a few seconds we'll see that enrollment is successful.
Now, you still can do a script or a command line-based installation, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, cool.
So if we switch to the R2 environment, yeah, we're there.
Yep,
we should see.
Might need to do a refresh.
The MacBook Air. So it's now enrolled, and the client will connect a couple of times to the primary site, and it will gather the information, the inventory, and probably also the settings we're about to discuss now.
Yes. All right. So I just want to kick back over here. All right. So actually, Peter's already discussed inventory.
Yeah.
In terms of SIEM, we might actually just.
We can show it quickly.
Very, 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 very fast.
Very quickly.
It's fun. Everyone loves inventory, don't they? Naturally. So you want to? Yep.
Let's. I'll switch to the SP1 side because there isn't any inventory yet in my of my MacBook Air because it's just enrolled. So I'm.
It'll take from a new enrollment. It takes approximately about half an hour to an hour
to
a full update and roll all that information back to the primary site server.
So what we see here is the information about the Mac device, but also we can see the installed programs.
And this is exactly the same that you would expect from a Windows machine enrolled within SECM as well. Config Manager isn't aware of the type of information that's being reported back in terms of whether it's WMI or SIM. It simply assumes, yep, WMI, all good. The advantage of that is that you can bring that into the existing reporting structure.
And that we can show. It's already open. So you can use the out of the box reports, or you can build your own queries or your own reports to get off to present the information to your upper management and say, this application we really want to get rid of, or we have to buy licenses and stuff.
Seven. We've got about four inputs up here, and it's fun. All right. So settings management is something we can do in SCCM, obviously, in the same way that we do on Windows machines, where we go into assets and compliance, and we want to create particular compliance items and compliance baselines to enforce settings across managed machines. We can now do this on OS X as well.
Yep, true. And you can create your baselines and deploy them against the OS X devices and report the compliance of your settings. And if necessary, you can also remediate the preferences. In our lab environment, it's wrong again. I created some settings to be able to control the remote control of the devices.
That's on R2, yeah?
This is an R2 environment. You're able to change settings or to check if settings have a certain value. And if not, you can report it as non-compliant or you can remediate the settings if supported. So in this example, we check if the VNC, that's a protocol to remotely control the Mac OS X device, is enabled, and if the setting is equals true. So if not, we will remediate the setting. So this way, you keep your Mac environment managed.
And that's not to stop a user from going and changing it, but because we've got a native agent on the device and an active compliance item, if a user goes and changes it, once the agent goes back and realizes that that particular setting is not compliant, it will remediate it. So all that joy that us Windows administrators get out of slapping down Windows users, we can now bring that into the OS X world.
How cool is that?
Sorry. Sorry, it's all about cross-platform. I'm sorry, yes.
We were planning a demo of this, but I think for time's sake...
Look, for the sake of time, yeah, we might actually move on. So essentially what we were showing is opening up a VNC connection from my machine into the managed MacBook Air. The VNC connection fails. Because VNC is not actually enabled. Setting runs, so the agent talks back, grabs policy, and then we open up the same VNC connection again, and bang, it works. So that's what we're going to show. However, let's get into OS X application management. All right. So what we can do is we can take native OS X applications, and we can bring those into a CCM, into the new application model, and we can deploy those against our OS X platform. We need to put it into a format which a CCM understands, so we need to wrap it in what's called a CMMAC file format. A CCM understands that, and we can then import that. CMMAC supports AtPicker, GMPicker, GNDMGs, so it covers pretty much most of the stuff that you need to deploy. You can run script-based stuff as well if you need to, but that doesn't use CMMAC. It looks at the traditional tags, the traditional IDs, which get laid down onto the Mac when the application is rolled out, and it uses that as its detection methods. Now, at the moment in SP1, you can only deploy to devices. So all that nice user-based targeting that we can do in CCM SP1, that is, I think, eventually coming to OS X, but the agent isn't quite there yet. So at the moment, you can only deploy to your devices, and it has to be required. It's got to be a required one, so you can't do available. So at the moment, we are talking application push to OS X. Let's take a quick look at how that operates. So, which one do I want? Number 5. All right, cool. So what I've got, here we go. So what I've got here is a number of DMGs, which I'm interested in deploying with SCCM, so Citrix, Firefox, Endpoint Protection, Skype, so on. In order to bring those across into a CCM, I'm going to need to wrap it in CMMAC. Now, the application or the utility which I need is that CMAppUtil. And literally, this is a bit like using a command line zip. It's just utility, input, output, and that's basically it. It's nice and simple. So if I hit go on that, it's going to open up Firefox first. It's not actually going to install anything. I don't need to interact with it. It's just opening up the DMG, seeing what's actually there. With DMG, the wrapper will actually go through, and for every application it finds within that DMG, it will then create a CMMAC application that you can bring into a CCM. And go through and compose that, and at the end of that, I will have a Firefox.cmmac application, just a file, and decided to put that there. So if I zoom out and take a look at CMMAC, there it is, Firefox.app.cmmac. So if I switch back to the SCCM environment, is CCM1. Oh, sorry. Thank you. Okay. So in my, actually, it's in tier 1. I think I put it in tier 2. Right. So what I've done, I've gone through and I've done an import of that CMake application, and that brings it in as a configuration manager app model deployment type. You familiar with the concepts of deployment types in a CCM? Kind of, yeah, all right, awesome. This one is actually quite a nice little example because obviously what I'm interested in is deploying Firefox. I don't really care how it gets there. I want a CCM to handle that. So if I look at the deployment types, I've actually got an Appv5 deployment type first, and then I've got an OSX one too. So when I deploy that application out to my OSX devices, the first one it's going to take a look at, it goes, ooh, Appv5. However, I've got a requirement on that says, no, you have to be on Windows 8. Yeah, all right, I'm not on Windows 8. What's next? Mac OS X. Excellent. That one I can do. So, and I've got that deployed against all OS X clients. So obviously, once a Mac is in your SCCM environment, you can treat it like any other Windows machine in terms of building collections, building queries based on operating system type, names, inventory, and so on. So if I switch back to the Mac, and I go into the Configuration Manager agent, and I say, right, connect now. So it's going to talk back to the management point, grab policy. And one of the things it will see is that there is an application that's been deployed to it. It's mandatory. And it's going to then process that application. And obviously, the blistering speed is making the presentation go even better. All right. It'll connect. It'll have a think. It's now processing. It's now done a successful deployment. And new software updates are available, Mozilla Firefox. It will do it on a deadline, but I'm going to say no. Off you go, install now. It's going to download that content from the DP on SCCM02, and we're done. And I go into applications, and I have Firefox. Here we go. All done. So application pushed, and we're good. All right. iOS. Does anyone have any questions on what we've seen so far in the OS X stuff? I know it's directly after lunch, and the air conditioners in here are not doing a wonderful job, and you've got conference food and warm, and it's like, hello, wake up. Hey, gotcha. Anyone have any questions on the OS X stuff?
Oh, sir.
Can we do software metering on OS X? Not at the moment, no, because there is no metering agent on the OS X agent at this point in time, so no. Yes, sir. Can you do a bare metal install of OS X?
Unfortunately not.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could? No, I'm sure nothing would please us more. You could do a bare metal install of Windows onto your OS X.
Upgrade it to Windows 8.
Yeah, upgrade. 8.1. There we go. No, not OS X at this point in time. No. So. How soon can we expect 10.9 support? Yes. The way it generally works is that Microsoft don't tend to announce this stuff in advance. We've got R2 coming out on October the 18th, and the CU updates have been coming thick and fast. So I guess the good thing about that is that Microsoft are not actually waiting for major releases or for service packs to introduce new support. Normally, it's just a relatively minor update. So if it's not at R2, then my expectation would be that it's not long after that. Does anyone know the release date on 10.9? Within the month, is it?
Okay.
All right. So look, if it's part of the current development cycle, then possibly in R2. And if I try and ask that of the product team, they'll send someone out to hurt me. so I won't do that. All right, yeah, last one. Sure, so the question is if you use an existing solution to do a bare metal rollout of OS X, incorporate the agent, or use a something like Orchestrator to automate it, how long before you're going to see those applications come down? Look, the default policy time is 1 hour. So once it's enrolled, it's going to grab policy down pretty much instantly. And then the next time it talks will be about 60 minutes.
Yeah.
So certainly within an hour, you should see those applications rolling down. Absolutely, yeah.
And you can bring it down to 4 minutes.
You can also drop it down, yeah. So one option is if you have a large amount of Macs in your environment is to drop the default client policy down to something really aggressive, but then have all of your other Windows machines impacted by a policy which uses a standard 1 hour schedule so that they don't pick up that 4 minutes or whatever it is, insane amount, because otherwise your network guys will start calling you and saying, you know, WTF.
Yeah, and I think your management point will be overloaded also.
Yes, so. And your management point will die and everything will crash in flames and you can blame Apple. All right. iOS management. So, in terms of iOS management, as I mentioned earlier, in the days before AV, we're not using a CCM natively in order to do this. We are leveraging Windows Intune. Windows Intune has the MDM capacity. Think of Windows Intune on its own as a cloud-based configuration management solution. For environments where you either don't have a CCM infrastructure or for environments which are too small to warrant a CCM infrastructure. So what we can now do is connect our on-premise CCM environment with a subscription to Windows Intune and take advantage of the MDM capacity of Windows Intune. So in the middle, we've got our 2012 R2 site with a nice little single admin console. And who in IT wears ties anymore? Is anyone? You do, Hux. Yeah. Okay, yeah. All right. And that's managing our traditional environment, Windows PCs, servers if you do that, now Windows To Go, Windows Embedded stuff, traditional. Adding into that, of course, now Mac OS X. The world is fun. We'll then add a subscription to Windows Intune. And talking directly to Windows Intune are all of our mobile platforms, so Windows RT, iOS, Android, Windows Phone 8. Those devices never talk directly to a CCM. So from an infrastructural perspective, you don't need to open up weird and wonderful ports, you don't need to spin up enrollment points, they're never going to talk directly to a CCM. If your CCM server is down, your mobile platforms are unaware of it because they're always talking to Intune. Intune and a CCM talk. That's the way that it works. But the advantage is that rather than having a management infrastructure with a CCM and another one that you need to manage separately with Intune, everything is done from that single administrative console, which is where the real value comes in. In terms of what we need to achieve this, actually pretty minimal. You obviously need a subscription into Windows Intune. You can get a 30-day trial, I believe.
Yep.
So if you want to go and spin it up now, you can achieve that very easily. You need to federate your on-premise environment with Azure on the assumption that you want your internal AD users to be able to enroll their devices. You do need to do this. Now, hands up who's terrified of the idea of federating their on-premise AD with Azure. I was the same. The first time I was spinning it up in my lab environment, I thought, I'm about to actually publish AD stuff. And then bang, is it, oh, federated, you're done. Right. Okay, that was easy. It's pretty painless. It's a very straightforward way to go. You then log into Windows Intune, Intune, and bang, there are your AD users. Right. Oh, okay. That was pretty easy, actually. So don't be afraid of it. There's some quite good documentation that Microsoft's made available on the process. It is a bit, the manual is a bit of PowerShell involved, but don't be afraid of it, is my advice. You then also need directory sync so that any changes that you're making locally will get pushed up. It's one way. So yes, you federated, but they're not going to write anything back to you. It's just you pushing it up there, okay? And you need your Intune connects a site role, which is simply a site role on an SCCM server that says, I am going to talk to Windows Intune. That's really it. And there's no configurable properties on that whatsoever. If you want some more funky stuff, so you want your users to be able to authenticate on their iPads and be using their corporate credentials, otherwise they're going to need to manage two separate loads of credentials, then you will need ADFS, and you'll also need an ADFS proxy so that they can do that comms when they are external to your network. The enrollment, do you want to talk to this?
Yep. The enrollment process is currently done by the user itself. We'll show that later. But what you need to do is go to the portal.management.microsoft.com and log on to the portal with your credentials or AD credentials or credentials supplied by the administrator. Next, you when you do that, the device will install a profile and a management profile in which allows the device connecting through Windows Intune to Config Manager. The enrollment is done with Windows Intune, not with Config Manager. So, but it's controlled. So we will show that later. When setting up the Windows Intune connector, you have to point out a collection and with users, and all those the users in that collection are allowed to enroll their devices. And yeah, it's a simple way. Intune acts like a cloud DP or MP. It isn't really a cloud DP, but it's a middle tier between the device and our Config Manager infrastructure.
All right, so let's take a look at doing some enrollment. Switch back to this one. So I need my iPad. Okay. I just hide all those irritating icons, all my games. all right, so what we're going to do, so I've enrolled this, re-enrolled this, removed it, and so on. The enrollment and removal process is actually pretty easy, pretty straightforward, and can be rolled back relatively easily as well. So what I'm going to do is fire up Safari and navigate to portal.managed.microsoft.com. Now, it's going to ask me to sign in with my organizational account. Now, when I type this in, what it's going to do is check whether or not it is a genuine Intune account or whether it understands that this is a synchronized on-premise AD account. Because when I flick to the password field, it's not going to let me type in my password. It's going to run a check, and then it's going to redirect me to on-premise ADFS. So it understands what my ADFS server is, and it takes me to that. Now, thank you, because iOS has a rather interesting approach to security and passwords. I was looking at some forums on this, and it's
not
okay.
Correctly.
Right. Here we go. It's going through.
Yeah,
pop it back. Yeah, I was going through some forums earlier on, and it said, oh, yeah, we show you the last character so you don't make any mistakes. You're kidding. So it checks whether or not I'm already enrolled. It's not. So it takes me to the enrollment page, and I'm going to go, yep, I wish to install, please. And then say, right, this is the management profile that you want. Please install it. Yes, install now. It's going to generate a unique key. Now, all this information is being stored against Intune. It's not touching my on-premise infrastructure. Okay, so there's no certs being deployed, nothing along those lines. Yes, please install. So roll the certs, install as a profile. And we're done. Takes me back to Intune. And notice where it says, after installation, click here to get your apps. So now I'll click here. And we'll go into the application management side of things in a second. We've got Get Apps, but what it has done in the background is that it has dropped in this company portal application just over on the far right there. If I hit that, that's the one that takes me back to Intune. If I wasn't already logged in, it would prompt me to log in again. Now, one thing I would say not to, or to be very careful of when you do this, because this had me confused for quite a while, make sure that Safari is not in private browsing mode. Because when you do that, it books up the way that the... So Intune drops cookies down onto your machine so that it enrolls it properly. Makes sense, right? It fits in private browsing mode. No reason why you should be in private browsing mode, of course. This is just purely for testing and lab purposes, for no other reason whatsoever. Stop looking at me like that. It looks like it enrolls, it appears it enrolls, but it never appears in the CCM console. And occasionally when you go back to the company portal, it says, hey, you're not enrolled, do you want to re-enroll? Even though the management portal is still there. Okay, so it really does stuff it up.
Can you show the profile, the management profile?
Yes. So if we jump back and take a look at the management profile. And there it is. And we've got some more details. So it's dropped down some management certs. I could use iOS settings to actually push out some company certs as well. And that is really about it. It is, unfortunately, due to the wonderful levels of security, quite possible to remove that profile. Yeah. Typically by clicking remove. However, you get it and it's done. And you can now get settings, policy, and applications down onto your machine.
Yeah, but the downside is the user can can manually remove the profile and it's unmanaged again. So.
They can. I never said it was awesome. I just said it was it's better than what you can currently do.
Consumer device. So.
It is still a consumer device, yes. All right, so we now have it enrolled. Okay, cool.
Oh. You want to show more?
No, jump in. Policy and settings.
All right, the same with Mac OS X devices. We can deploy settings and policies to the eye of the iPads and iOS of all iOS devices, iPads, iPhones, iPod Touches. I'll show you later which settings, but you have to think about the settings you want to push to the clients, because when you enroll a device and the user is able to synchronize your company email or download company files, you want to have some kind of policies like password settings or password complexity. So you're able to enroll or to deploy those settings. It might better hit to a demo and show all the settings we are able to set. So when we choose the settings, screwing up at the moment. you were able, with Service Pack 1, you were able to set password policies, email management settings, security settings and stuff. When we go to the R2 environment, you will see that there's a lot more settings that can be managed.
And the way that that mobile policy setting works in SCCM, when I'm talking against Intune, is that it's not necessarily it's not necessarily specific to the platform. So you generate a policy. You can say which platforms it's going to apply to, whether you wish it to apply to Windows RT, Windows Phone, iPad, iOS, and so on. And what it will do on the fly is look at all of the policy settings which you've set, and it's going to work out which ones are going to apply on which platform. You then deploy those policies to your users. Intune allows you to enroll multiple devices against the same account. So maybe a user has a Windows RT slate and an iPad and a Windows Phone 8 machine. The same policy will be able to be applied against all of those devices, and only the applicable settings will get applied.
Yeah, if we choose the password setting policy configuration item. Oh, man. We are able
it's
to...
It's a bit interesting.
Yeah, yep. It is. Let's head back.
That's okay.
Here you can choose the platforms that are supported and the versions. So you see in the case of iPad and iPhone, it supports iOS 5 and iOS 6, and iOS 5 has a subset of all the supported features that you saw in the list. And to give a difference between the Service Pack 1 and the big steps Microsoft made in supporting the mobile devices, in this case iOS devices, they are becoming a real mature MDM solution.
All right, so let's take a look. We might actually move on because we're moving a little bit behind time. So let's take a look at application management in iOS. So what we can do, that's okay, yep. So what we can do in terms of our application management, we can do deep link and we can do .ipa application push. So let me just kill this and move into my software library and take a look at some mobile apps. So what I've done here is that I've brought in a couple of applications. The ones where I've said, you know, receiver for iPad, OneNote for iPad and Prezi and so on, those are deep links to the App Store. Okay, so maybe I don't wish to have to package those up separately and deploy them, even if I could. Whereas the bottom one is actually a .ipa file. So it's a signed Apple application, which I've brought into my environment. I've then uploaded that to the distribution point on Windows Intune and deployed that to my users. So if we take a look at what that actually looks like from an end user perspective, I'll switch back to the iPad. There it is. So I'll spin it up, fire up the company portal. And if I jump into Get Apps, so it's recognized who I am, and it's presenting me with the applications which have been made available to me via SCCM. None of this is being done directly with Intune. In fact, it's worth pointing out that the relationship between Intune and SCCM is a bit of a brutal one. Intune has the capacity to do MDM, obviously, but when you configure Configuration Manager to talk to Intune and do MDM, Intune says, right, Configuration Manager is handling all of my MDM, and I will never do MDM again on that subscription. It is a little brutal, and it can't be reversed.
You have to call support.
You have to call support. Yeah. You can't do it yourself. It's fine. So if I take a look at, say, Prezi, so we can say, all right, so click View App to view this app in the external store, and it's going to bounce me back out and take me to the App Store. Mm-hmm. blistering speed. And fire up Prezi for iPad. If that's the one I want, I'll say, yep, no problem, free. For the IPA file, it's a bit different. So I'll switch back. I'll go home, git apps, and I want this test app called Bad Neighbor. Now this isn't going to bounce me out to the external store. Instead, it gives me an install option and a size. So I'm going to say install. And we've now got a request in progress. So what I'm going to see is that eventually it isn't showing up at the moment. No, okay. So what I will eventually see on my iPad is an icon which has been dropped down. I'll get prompted to accept the certs which the publisher used on that application. You want to accept it? Yes. Here we go, app installation. Yep, it's about to install. Thank you very much. If I go and take a look at my management profile, I'll see that I've now got another cert there, which is the one that the publisher used, and it gets dropped down. And there it is. It's waiting down there, and it's installing. Nearly done. And there we go. Done. And I don't know what this... I don't know what it does. I literally got no idea what that does. So, but it installs, and that's all I really care about.
So, how do you target setting applications to iPads, like different business units and stuff like that?
For different business units? Yep. Sure. So, the question is, how do you target particular applications, particular settings at, say, a business unit. Settings and applications are targeted at the user. So within a CCM, what you would do is set up a user collection. Yep, totally collection based. So if Peter is a member of another collection which doesn't have that bad neighbor app, when he logs on, he won't see it. It isn't there. Policies are exactly the same. They can be deployed against a device, obviously, but for mobile ones, you want to deploy those against a user because, you know, as mentioned, they may have multiple platforms. So rather than you as the administrator needing to worry about this guy's are using RT, so I better have an RT policy over here because RT is doing so awesomely, I'll just have a policy and I'll let SCCM work it out. So it's all done within SCCM, standard traditional administrative tasks. Okay, so that was application management. Now, at the moment, in SCCM 2012 SP1, the application push is available applications only. Okay, so you essentially log on, company portal, there's your application, it's available to me, I download and install it. In R2, you can now do required, so you can actually do push installations of applications. And a lot more besides. So we now have some options in R2.
Yep, and that's, I think, the most requested feature, selective wipe. Because currently only full wipe is supported. It was already supported through, for instance, the Exchange connector within Config Manager or Exchange itself. It now supports the selective wipe. We were hoping to show it to you, but unfortunately,
We got access into the latest Intune environment. We were allowed to show it. Unfortunately, the bits that we wanted to show were definitely beta. Yep. Definitely beta. Again, I would have needed to have done mime, you know, or tap dance or expressive dance, whatever.
That's also fine.
No, it's not.
So what is revoked when the selective wipe is chosen? Basically, all the information that is pushed through Windows Intune to the device. So nothing personal. If somebody has personal documents or personal photos, they all preserved on the device. In currently in Service Pack 1, all all information is will be wiped. So you have unhappy users. And from now on, we have always happy users. What is not removed is email, because I think the current version doesn't know how to identify if email is corporate-owned or personal. So that's only removed with the complete wipe.
But a remote complete wipe is fun too.
Yeah.
Especially if someone's left the organization. Complete wipe.
And it's still managed.
Exactly. In terms of what we can do in the current environment, if you have, so here it's dropped into the console. So it's showing as inactive at the moment because it's still communicating against Intune, and Intune's talking back to SCCM. We do have a couple of options. This is not done via Exchange ActiveSync or anything along those lines. We've got the option of a retire or a wipe. If we do a retire, it will, the next time that the iPad talks to Intune, it will then remove stuff like the management profile, it'll remove certs, it'll remove applications which it dropped down as a result of its interaction with Intune, and then it will remove that machine and all of the inventory information from SCCM. I can also configure a wipe, which I'm not going to do. Back off, because I haven't backed that up. Thank you very much. Now, at the moment, it is the next time the device talks to Intune. So there is a bit of a delay. Next version, R2, because we can do stuff like application push. We can also do pretty much instantaneous policy push as well. So
that's a big improvement.
Massive improvement. And you're seeing all this stuff landing in October, pretty much. So coming very, very soon. Very, very soon. Now, we have actually managed to do things ahead of time, so we've got a little bit of time for Q&A. Just before we do that, I just want to say thank you to Peter, because not only is this his first TechEd, it's his first time presenting in English. So, I have a bit of a hand.
Sorry for the mistake. Thank you.
So, guys, does anyone have any questions on what we've shown today?
So,
does the password sync feature in directory synchronization get around the requirement for ADFS? No, ADFS is still the requirement. So it doesn't sync the passwords. It won't do that. So when your users attempt to log onto a corporate credentials and ADFS is part of your environment, it passes that ADFS information up to Intune, which, as you saw, will just redirect you. So when you authenticate, you're authenticating against on-premise infrastructure or an ADFS proxy. So, no, it doesn't get around that. So?
One of our users actually does remove the management profile.
So, if a user removes a management profile, accidentally, of course, how do you get that back on? Look, at the moment, you can't force it. The next time they go to talk to Intune, so you send out an email and say, hey, there's this really awesome company AFL application, off you go and grab it, it's going to look at him and say, hey, you're not enrolled. What's going on? So you'll get that management profile back on. Look, it is a limitation of the iOS platform at this point in time. They can do that. There's only so much you can do, and it's not a lot.
You also have to remove the device from Config Manager, otherwise
Intune
will see, hey, it's already enrolled, so what happens?
There's a bit of user education that goes on around that. Intune won't push it back.
No,
it won't push it back. Chris?
If you wipe the device using ActiveSync,
yes.
So
the question is that the request within Exchange ActiveSync to wipe a device is persistent until you cancel it. Is that the same in SCCM? No, it's a one-off. So if you say go and wipe, it's the next time the machine talks against Intune, it goes, hey, I've got a wipe against this, and bang, it goes and wipes it. If you re-enroll it, it won't say you're enrolled, welcome back, wipe. It's not going to do that. No. So. Yep. Yeah. application push from the App Store. You can make it a can you push directly from the App Store? That's a good one.
Don't think so.
I'm not 100% sure if that's possible because you don't control the content. That's still up on the App Store, and ultimately the application is a link, it's a deep link. I think, yeah, I would need to get back to you. I've not seen it in action, so I don't know. Yeah, you can, but one of the policy changes within R2 is access to the App Store. So you can certainly do stuff like lockdown access to the App Store, except for the stuff that is available through the company portal. So you can do stuff along those lines and mandatory push of your own IPA files. So. Managing encryption keys. Okay. So the question is, will you be able to manage encryption keys on iOS the same way that you can manage, say, BitLocker keys with SCCM and MBAM? Not to my knowledge. I stand to be corrected on that. There's still stuff coming through about what you're going to be able to do in the later versions of Intune. It's not feature parity. So often there are things that you can do within Intune which, when you try and do them with SCCM, it's not quite the same. The two products are aligned pretty closely now. So will we see that? I hope so, because that would be awesome. But I don't have any information on that. I'm sorry. So.
Similar to that other question with the App Store, is it a black or white
or something? Sure. So is there a blacklist or a whitelist around the App Store? Not in SP1. I believe policy control of App Store applications is coming in R2. Can you also download either the deep link application or the IPA file? Not in SP1, because applications are deployed as available, not required. That changes in R2. We're not 100% sure about the deep link ones, but the IPA files, yeah, absolutely. It's a push, yeah, it's a push. So as soon as it talks, it goes application, bang, drops it down. All right, guys, thank you very much. Oh, sorry.